Welcome to It's a Grand Life. Did you know that in the United States alone, 2.4 million kids are being raised by their grandparents or other family members other than mom or dad? 2.4 million. It's a Grand Life is a podcast for those grandparents and kinship caregivers who are committed to making a difference for those kids. Grand families are in every neighborhood, every city, tribe, and territory nationwide. If this is you or someone you love, this podcast is for you. Our goal is to offer hope and resources to help you. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. Welcome to another episode of It's a Grand Life. Hello, my name is Craig Nash. We'd like to welcome you to another It's a Grand Life. And if you joined us last week, we had Debbie Frisbee on talking about her initial role of becoming a grand family and some of the challenges she had in she and her husband's journey with their grandkids. And it was just such a blessing to hear how they advocated over multi-state lines and all sorts of challenges. But what you don't know about Debbie Frisbee is that she's really one of the premier advocates for grand families here in the state of Michigan, where we are. And we wanted to talk a little bit about how she got here in our last episode. If you missed it, go back into the your podcast platform, and I'm sure it's there. But today, Debbie Frisbee, we'd like to welcome you back to It's a Grand Life. And we want to talk about your role as the advocate. Not only did you advocate for your grandkids, now you're doing it for all of us here in Michigan, and we really appreciate that so much. But how did we switch hats from being the grandparent or in charge of the grand family to now being an advocate for those of us who really need a voice?
Yeah. So when we had received the grandchildren and the guardianship, I was still working at General Motors, and I was fortunate enough that they were offering a grow into retirement. And I had 24 years in or 25 years. And I looked into that. I looked into it, and you had to have a certain amount of time accrued by July 1st. And so I knew I was close. I wasn't one who worked overtime. I enjoyed my weekends with my family. And so I thought, man, I don't know. I mean, I knew when my anniversary date was, and my anniversary date was shy of having the 25 years that you needed to get this grow into retirement. And people were saying, well, go check on Fidelity and find out what your time is. And I said, no, I don't want to receive bad news before I have to, if I don't have enough time. Well, long story short, I had enough time. And so I was able to go into retirement and still receive a paycheck each week, just like I was working. It was a reduced amount, but I was home with the kids. My husband had become disabled with an autoimmune disease that attacked his legs. And so he was already disabled and living. He had long-term disability at the time. So we were stay-at-home parents. We weren't stay-at-home parents with our first family, and here we stay at home parents. So we still took care of ourselves. We still, had a sitter once a week, so we concentrate on us, because this was a big role to take.
Yes, it was.
And so at the time I was also, when I retired, so that was retiring from GM, I realized that I still had a lot of time on my hands, even though I was taking care of the kids, but we were co-parenting. So, we were both together. So I wanted to volunteer, because I had always been a volunteer somewhere, someplace doing something. And so I got on 211, and I decided, and I'm going through the list on 211 on the thing. And all of a sudden I saw CASA, advocating children, and I thought, wow, that is so me. and went through training, became a CASA in Kent County until I was a CASA for 7 years until we made the move to Northern Michigan. So that's where my advocacy started. Besides advocating for my daughter in school and with doctors and things, it really was learning the ropes of being a voice for children who didn't have a voice. And that was my role as a CASA. And so that's really where my advocacy work started. And that's also when we started, going through this situation with our daughter and, wondering if we needed to care for the children and become guardians. So that's where the advocacy part started. Then we moved to Northern Michigan, and my husband said, we're in a really different community than we were back home. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, even though Crystal Mountain is a resort, outside of the resort, there's a lot of poverty. And so he said, the schools don't look like the schools the kids were going to before. So he said, why don't we volunteer in the school? So we started volunteering in Riley's third grade class, our youngest daughter's third grade class. And from there, just getting to know the people better and everything, we realized, oh, wow, there's a lot of grandparents raising grandchildren in this community. Or the adult kids are living there, but grandmother's the primary caregiver.
Right.
And so I said to Dick, when we first started being grandparents, we belonged to a grandparents raising grandchildren support group. And I said, wow, Dick, don't you think we just know too much to just sit back and not, not try to find out how we can help these families? And so I got a hold of Bethany Christian Services has their post-adopt, which we know is PARC. And I got a hold of them in Traverse City, and they said, oh, we'd love to help you start a support group. So we started a support group. Our church gave us the building once a month. We brought in key speakers. We brought in, court administrators. But living in Northern Michigan, it gets dark early. And these grandparents have children.
Right.
And so the support group was pretty active for about 2 years. And then we decided that we just weren't getting enough people to come. And so then we decided to, I just felt like I had an empty space. So I still continued to work with administrators at school, telling them, hey, I'm here. If you have, these grandparents or anybody that needs, assistance or has questions, I'm always available. So the community knew me. The community knew that I was, always readily available. And so that was the work I started, here in Northern Michigan.
That reminds me of that sermon by Rick Warren, where he says, don't waste your pain.
Right.
and that's what you and your husband did. You're volunteering at the school, which is absolutely vital, and launching support groups and I could see Bethany Christian Services going, wow, this is amazing. This lady's got a heart for this. And how do we get them a building or whatever we need to do to make this happen? So did you get involved at the state level as well, advocating for different things? Or
when I became so working with Bethany on this support group, Bethany called me one day and said, Deb, there's a job that we think would be really suitable for you and could use all the resources that you have and the knowledge that you have. So they said, check this out. So they gave me this link to the Adoptive Family Support Network and the job description, and it was a parent mentor. And it's like, well, that's what I'm doing, parent mentoring. So I went to Grand Rapids and was interviewed for this job. They had a new program called Parent to Parent. We call it P2P. And it was a statewide parent mentoring position. And it was partially supported by MDHHS. So I was hired into that. And so again, that was all advocacy work. And it was for adoptive families, foster families, guardianship families, kinship families. It was the whole gamut. But my specialty was kinship. And so because each one of us was unique, each one of the employees was unique. Someone knew everything there was about international adoption. Somebody else knew everything there was to know about subsidy and medically fragile. And, you know, so we were a beautiful team. Because we all had these specialties. And so, you know, I was got kind of, you know, when there was a kinship or guardianship issue, you know, I was the go-to person. And so my job became like a navigator. I found resources for people, and especially those of us who are in guardianships, like you and I, there's very few resources, and they have no place to go to find out what those resources are. And I'm sad that there's only me. Right. There's more than that now, not specifically for guardianship families. There are navigators, and we have a program in Michigan that I'm very thankful for. But again, the focus is on formal foster care kinship families, although they do help find resources for us. So there's more of us now. There's more of what I was doing now. So that's where, you know, my advocacy work just continued.
How long have you done this so far, advocating? So
I started the Adoptive Family Support Network Parent Mentoring Program in 2015, and I just retired in October.
Okay.
But I'm still working in my own county, and I'm still fielding phone calls from people who still have my telephone number or have a way of finding me. And we have Facebook pages that are private that I also watch and try to answer questions for people who have questions. So, you know, I'm still very active, though I'm not working. So,
you're retired, but still doing the work.
So also in 2015, I met Lisa Groski, who you've had on your program before. And she and I were working with the kinship program through MSU. And we were in Lansing doing some advocacy work, raising awareness. So we did that. Then I became a member of the Michigan Kinship Care Coalition. Okay. At that time, and I'm on the steering committee of that for policy and advocacy. So, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, I wasn't one who was going to coffee talks or meeting with legislators or whatever. And, you know, my boss, because our program is partially funded, it always had to be appropriated for, right?
Right.
Or we didn't exist.
Right.
And so she just kind of said, I'm going to push you guys from the nest. You've got to start going to the coffee talks, and you got to start talking about AFSN. So, you know, I had my story. It was easy to talk to I didn't realize it, how easy it was to talk to my legislators. Then I started having clients where I think, this is such a mess. We need a legislator to straighten this out. So I was at coffee talks with a client, and I said, look at this. Can you fix this? Can you find out what's going on in this case?
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that I met at the time, it was Representative Kurt Vanderwall from Ludington, and the case was in Mason County. And so he helped this person, his staff helped this person tremendously. And at the same time, he started, didn't know Judge Nellis, but then he, it was an open door for him to get to know more about the legal side of it by this relationship he had and his staff with Judge Nellis. So that whole area, right down to the Senior Resource Center, Has been focusing on kinship families, and they're just all collaborating together. The director at the Scottville Senior Center is remarkable. And you know why? Because he was a kinship kid.
Oh my.
And he gets it. And he was taking money out of his own pocket to start a grandparents raising grandchildren support group.
Wow, that's just such a great story. Yeah. And although you say you're retired, you don't sound very retired to me. But you sound like a person who's just stepping out in what you're very passionate about, and doors keep opening, and there's a divine hand on what you're doing. And you probably never dreamed you'd be meeting with these folks at the state level and judges and from the days of your early guardianship 20 some years ago to where you are now, that you could just see the growth in the whole program, and how there's been a hand on you, moving you in and out of courtrooms and coffee clutches and everything else. And we just really appreciate all you've done. And I just hope you know you always have a platform here to share whatever is going on from an advocacy standpoint in the state of Michigan or whatever. I'm hoping that It's a Grand Life could become a staple for those of us who are going through the kinship care grand family process, and that if we want to find out what's going on, that we would turn in here every week and find out what's going on in Colorado and California and even Crystal Mountain, Michigan. You know,
yeah.
So what would you say to folks that are listening across the country that aren't advocates, but they very much can, your story really has resonated with them, they want to get involved? How would you suggest they do that?
Well, I think that they think they aren't advocates, but I guarantee you every one of them is an advocate. If they're enrolling kids in school, you're already advocating for your kids. And if your kids have an IEP, you're really advocating. I can't convey enough to how important your story is. Because your story and your lived experience exceeds any college degree that any of the people you're working with have, because you know the ins and outs. You know where your story points out where there's a lack of services or a lack of information or whatever. So, you know, you start out where you're comfortable, but I'm telling you, once you do recognize what an advocate you are, you will be empowered to do it even more. Because the passion behind that is you want what's better and best for your kids that you're raising, but you can also, along the way, you're changing it for the kids that are coming into care in grand families.
100% true. And there's nothing like someone who's been through it to advocate for it. And Debbie Frisbee, we just thank you so much for being our guest here on It's a Grand Life. I hope this is the second of many appearances that you'll make with us as this podcast continues to grow. But thank you for all your encouragement. We're so encouraged by your story and how the doors have been opened and how you're making a difference for the folks, not only in your state, but in your community. And just hope you know there's an open door here. We'd love to have you back anytime. And thanks so much for being our guest here again today.
Thank you. I'll come back and tell you about networking. Network with your community and just networking with people who are going through going through what you're going through. Networking is my key word.
Well, we've got to set that up. But thank you so much for being our guest today. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time talking about networking within the Grand Family Network. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today for It's a Grand Life. It's a Grand Life provides vital content, regulatory updates, and subject matter experts that are committed to supporting the 2.4 million kids and their caregivers from every neighborhood, every city, every tribe and territory nationwide. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. As caregivers, we are united in purpose. We are driven by hope while providing strength for today and hope for tomorrow. We are truly making a difference in while living the grand life. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, please reach out to us. But we'll see you next time for another It's a Grand Life. Thank you for joining us.